on Extra 1360. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Hello, Darren.
How are we doing today?
Just counting down the hours.
48 hours and 48 minutes.
Is that what it is? I know that at 1 o'clock last night, it was 60 hours, so yeah.
Yeah, wow, you sound really into it, Kevin. Is this trade deadline taking a toll on you?
It does every year, but I found out here in the last couple of years that it takes a bigger toll when the team you cover is a buyer.
Yes, good point. And I think that there's much more interest as well. And plus, I think an obligation probably to chase down every one of these wacky stories, even from accounts that nobody's ever heard of. Kevin, give us your overall thoughts on Adam Frazier being added into the mix. This was not one that people were talking about. People have spent a ton of time talking about Joey Gallo. Now they're talking about Eric Hosmer, and we're talking about Max Scherzer to start the show here today. Give us your thoughts on one that we didn't see coming here in Adam Frazier.
That's one of my favorite kinds, and I've tried to kind of remind people of that, that like for all the names that everyone has tweeted about and written about, I don't recall seeing Adam Frazier anywhere, and that's A.J. Preller for you. The puzzle is still ongoing, obviously, in terms of who's going to be here after the next couple of days, because, man, that lineup, both on the field and obviously it's easier to fit him into the lineup, the batting order, but on the field, it's going to be quite the puzzle. But man, I do not see how that guy does not help the Padres. Unless he were to go into some incredible slump that there's no sign that he's going to because of the type of hitter he is, I don't see how he doesn't help.
We've seen him in left field to begin his Padre career last night. We see him at second base in the lineup coming up today, Kevin. I suspect now he's going to get a ton of at-bats, to your point. This does lengthen out the lineup. He's the MLB leader in hits thus far in the season. He's got the same sort of mentality it's been described to us as Jake Cronenworth, Austin Nola, Tommy Pham, etc. But in terms of you just mentioned the jigsaw puzzle, this seems to be the way it's going to go. They're going to figure out a way to get this bat into the lineup every single night. Left, second, who knows, tomorrow maybe we'll see him in right.
Yeah, maybe we will. They are absolutely not afraid to do that with anyone, and they seem to believe that he can handle himself out there. They put Tommy out there. Tommy Pham hadn't played there since 2016, and I think has played something like 30 innings there. Maybe it's 39 now, or 37 after last night. It's been trending that way, just like it had been trending for a while, that Eric Hosmer is going to sit against most lefties. You know, that started to happen almost from the start of the season, but really it started to happen about the first time that you start to hear Joey Gallo. And, Joey Gallo hasn't played first base, I don't think, since 2018, but certainly can play there. And, it's always been in the back of my mind, but regardless, they are going to be moving people around, and you're going to see less of Eric Hosmer, whether you see him at all here after the next few days.
So I was asked this question. I'm sure you've been asked as well. We'll lean on your information. Some have wondered if the addition of Adam Frazier, just based on skill set, means that we would stop hearing about Joey Gallo. What does it mean to you?
I certainly thought so on Sunday night, but no. My understanding is AJ won't give up on it. But that right now they're at a point where maybe the Padres have made their last offer and the Rangers haven't, aren't going for it. But when I say won't give up on it, it's like you were not hearing Robert Hassel a week ago. And now you are. And, that's pretty incredible because that was a guy that, that you separate your prospects between good prospects that maybe can help you one day, but also might be trade pieces. Heck, with AJ, probably will be. And then championship pieces, as they call them, and that are going to be on your team. And Robert Hassel is one of those. And so it sure seems like he really wants Joey Gallo, but I don't know where it's at this moment.
So what would you say is stronger? Is it the desire to bring in somebody like Joey Gallo, or is it the desire to remove somebody like Eric Hosmer now? Because this has picked up full steam as well, and I think that it's sort of one and the same in that we're talking about the Texas Rangers adding in a top prospect, potentially buying down that contract, which I can't imagine you wouldn't do. I don't care what prospect you attach to Eric Hosmer. Nobody wants to pick up $59 million, which we can get to here in more detail. But is it just simply about bringing in Gallo for you, Kevin, or is it about, we need to do something here because we're a little bit backed into a corner when it comes to our finances?
Oh, yes, that's it. But man, this guy likes Gallo, it seems. I don't think the Rangers are the only team that he could figure out a way to get Hosmer done. But he likes Gallo a lot. They're concerned about the inflation of other contracts next year. And yes, Hosmer's money goes down after next year, but there's still $39 million on there. And everybody's contract, these young guys are going to start, getting paid. And Tatis's contract goes up. Manny's doesn't go down. You still have Yu Darvish and Blake Snell. You're going to drop Tommy Pham most likely. But you're going to have to pay Joe Musgrove more. You're going to have to pay Adam Fraser more. So this is definitely about the contract.
It is. And what did you make of the whole scene yesterday where Eric Hosmer made himself available, spoke for about 4 or 5 minutes or so? For the most part, I thought it went rather well. It ended poorly, but whatever. Maybe that's a metaphor for the overall bigger picture. What did you just make yesterday of what it was that he had to say? And then also you asked a very interesting question to Fernando Tatis Jr. postgame about Eric Hosmer as well. What have you made just in terms of the body language? You're around the team all the time, Kevin. What's it like around the team since you've had access to it since the story has popped up?
I feel like in my career, there've been times I've put too much on, locker room, clubhouse chemistry. There's times maybe I haven't put enough. So I approached this maybe a few days ago, maybe early last week, to really sort of ask guys. And both guys have reached out to me since the Hosmer thing has gotten, traction publicly. And the guys that I've asked, there's no question this team is going to be pissed. They're going to be devastated. I'm not saying that they're not going to be able to overcome it, but they don't understand why they would do this right now, why they would take away a guy that everyone looks to as, look, Clay Stam is a big leader, Manny's a big leader, there's veterans in this clubhouse, but they look to Eric Hosmer to keep it the straight every day and to take their direction from him, and they are going to be devastated. And it seems to me that they have sort of resigned themselves. Now, whether that means anything or not, look, these are just players. They're not making the moves, all right? But they've resigned themselves. It seems that this could happen. I don't know what to make of that exactly, but I think it says something that these guys care like that. And, they're going to be fine. They're going to, like Eric Hosmer said, I thought that was impressive. Eric's a pro, gosh, he knows what to say. But I thought that was impressive what he said. They're going to be fine. These are pros now. Well, that's what he was brought in for. That's a big part of what he was brought in for. And, this is a big one, though. I don't know what you think, Darren. Like, educate me here. Like, a guy who has played the role he has on this team to be traded, it's like, damn, this really is a business.
Yeah, it most certainly is, and certainly not what we were thinking about in February of 2018 when it was that they introduced him. I even went back and watched some of that press conference today just to hear the words that were used by A.J. Preller and others. But, Kevin, I just want to go back to one thing you just said, that there's a resignation. Is there a resignation about Eric Hosmer being shopped, or is there a resignation about him being moved?
I think there's a resignation about him being moved. And like I said, I don't know what to make of that. That these guys are not – they're not privy. They're not talking to A.J. Preller. And A.J. Preller is certainly not talking to them about the likelihood. But, that could just be based on what the things they're reading, all right, because they are reading. But I'm just saying, like, they're kind of – the way they've talked about it is like, man, this is going to happen, huh? I don't know, guys. It seems like it, but I don't know. It is going to. I promise you, I know everyone knows – what I think of Eric Hosmer and that I tend to be positive toward him. I went back at basically ground zero and like, help me understand the importance of this guy to the team or the lack of importance. Like, I don't want to overplay it. And these guys are going to be really bummed if he's moved.
If he's moved indeed. And Kevin, is it being done just purely based on, okay, again, this contract has become a little bit of an albatross, or is it in order for us to improve? Because I think, what will help this team get through this, if it happens, is if you can convince them that this is a better team on the other side of it. And if you can do that, and whether this is CBT tax thresholds and things along those lines, which is super geeky and boring, But if you can convince them that bringing in players makes you a better squad, is it being done simply to clear up a little bit of money, or is it being done because it's an admission that this isn't trending in the right direction? I suppose the answer is probably all of the above. But like when you sell this to your clubhouse, if this happens, like what is it that you're going to say to your team?
I think you're probably going to acknowledge that it was a really big deal, but that here's why you did it, and you think it makes you better. And then guess what? Just like all change, the proof is going to be in what happens. And if 2 weeks from now they're you know, four games better in the standings or something, or you know they've gone 8-2, it'll be okay. And that's not from me. That's from guys inside the clubhouse. I mean, that in no way want to see Eric Hosmer go, but they understand that they're going to be okay.
Padres scored 7 runs last night. Kevin, a lot of people think, hey, this lineup, it's good. It's ready to go. Pitching is what needs to be addressed. What do you see happening? I'm not asking for any sort of prediction, anything like that, because who knows? We just learned a lesson through Adam Frazier here. That's important for all of us to remember with 48 hours and 38 minutes to go. But what are you hearing in terms of pitching being brought in, either starters, relievers, some combination of both?
Mostly starter, but combination of both. And looking ahead to the postseason where, yes, hey, would it be great to be the Nationals of 2019? Sure. And did they think that maybe at the start of the season that they had that kind of rotation that could take care of you in the postseason and in big series? Yes. They're getting Matt Strom. They're getting Denelson Lamet in the bullpen. And that maybe that's the route to go, that if some of these guys can give you 5 quality innings in the postseason, as long as you get your, that's why you bring in maybe a John Gray or somebody like that. That gets you to the postseason where your bullpen is, it's in good shape, as good a shape as it's been all season. Then you're going to be a force in the playoffs if you have a pitching staff like the Padres have. I think that's a lot of the thinking. That's not to say they're not going to get Max Scherzer. I don't know, but I don't think they are, and I do think that they have more looked at the guy who's going to give them some innings.
So, maybe not the star caliber name of Max Scherzer, but maybe like Jose Barrios, John Gray, somebody along those lines.
Yep. That's what I mean. Now look, things change with this guy.
Yep.
And I'm going to say that to some extent that information may be dated based on the intensity of the Max Scherzer market over the last, 36 hours. But that has always been my impression, and nothing that I, in talking with people today, and didn't talk to the man himself, and if I did, I wouldn't say it, but didn't talk to the man himself, and he might be the only one that knows whether he's going to be able to swing Max Scherzer.
Kevin, thank you. Appreciate the time.
Take care.
Thank you. Kevin Acey, everybody, from the San Diego Union-Tribune and our Padres Extra 1360 Insider. One of them. When we come back, we'll analyze that. We'll hear from Eric Hosmer. We'll hear from Fernando Tatis Jr. I'm making an effort, by the way, to pronounce his name the way Joe Buck and Tim Kitchen pronounce it. Because I feel like they're right, although I really wish somebody would just ask him.
How did you pronounce it? Say it again.
Tatis.
What?
Tatis. Not Tatis. Tatis.
Like a T-U.